How about we take a moment to pray and just get our hearts right before God today? God, we thank you so much for your love for us, how you pursue us. We come into this room from all different kinds of places, all different kinds of things going on in our lives. Some of life has been heavy, and some of us have been distracted, and some of us have been running all over the place, just trying to keep it all together. Others of us have been doing well, and I just pray that whoever we are, however we ended up in this room, however we ended up in this moment, that you would break through all of the distractions and all of the barriers and all of the things that we have that put a wall up between you. We need you. We don't need more of ourselves. We certainly don't need more of me. We need you. So as we open your word and we look at how Jesus lived and some instruction on how to live in relationship with other people, I just pray that we would hear your word, that it would change us, that we would walk out of here different. That can only happen through your Spirit. So move in this place and in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the next week in our series, How Not to Ruin Everything. Have you stopped ruining everything yet? Is anybody still ruining stuff? I'm still sometimes maybe sort of ruining things. You know what I've found most of the time when I am ruining things in relationships? It's because of my mouth and what I say. The words are like the hardest part. Sometimes even when I have my intentions set in the right direction, my words betray that. Sometimes even when I'm committed to making healthy changes in my relationships, I react the wrong way to something in a moment and say something I shouldn't have, send something I shouldn't have sent, and here we go again. I'm back in the middle of the conflict that I was working so hard to avoid. Have you found that to be true? Have you ever like pulled your phone out, been like doing one of these, like show them, blah, 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 blah. Your thumbs can't go any faster. You're pulling new muscles in your hands that doctors didn't even know existed until recently. And then you hit send with enthusiasm. Heaven help your protective screen. With that much enthusiasm. And then all of a sudden, after you take a breath or a second, you're like, what'd I do? I should not have said that way. I frantically, more times than I like to admit, am rapidly searching for what my kids have seemed to allude to me is a way to unsend a message. I don't think this exists, though they seem to imply that it does, because I have frantically tried to find the unsend this text button on my phone, and I can never find it. I delete it on my phone and try to pretend it doesn't exist out there in the world. That's my strategy for coping with me saying dumb things that don't help my relationships. They hurt my relationships. And this is getting like harder by the minute for us as people. First of all, we grow up in this like Western idea of rugged individualism where what you say, what you have to say, this is huge, really matters. And it doesn't. We live in this world where it's like our opinions and how we feel about something is something that should always be expressed, unequivocally sent out into the world for everyone else to benefit from. You put out this like vibe that what we say and how we feel in every moment of every day on every topic is absolutely true and should be said, and everybody should listen to it and glean from our wisdom. You throw on top of that the tech that we carry around in our pockets, which is like lighter fuel, and the fact that that tech does not communicate tone, and you are ready for a catastrophe. Have you misread tone in a post that you thought was about you? Maybe it had nothing to do with you. Somebody sends you a whatever, and you don't know if it's like a, yeah, whatever, or a whatever. And I'm fine. And is it a I'm fine, or a like, yeah, I'm fine. How many of you have sweated over a thumbs up or gone on a venting rant to somebody else in your family because one family member replied to your message, not with words, they just pushed that little thumbs up emoji and you're like, who do they think they are? This Thanksgiving wouldn't happen without me, and they're giving me a thumbs up. I'll show them they're giving me a thumbs up. I'll give them a thumbs up, and not the emoji kind. Have you ever been in that boat? Like, sometimes I feel like I live there. And in today's world, there's these like, in today's world and our relationships where we're just like spouting stuff and we're hardly ever slowing down to think about what we're saying. We're never hitting pause to give ourselves enough time to like in space to respond. We're constantly reacting to everybody's thought and everybody's opinion and what everybody said and what he told Aunt Martha. And we're constantly like framing this in our relationships. And then you throw in our phones and texting and emailing and all the lost tone and you have a really complicated setup for putting everything back together. It is really easy to ruin everything with what you say. And so I look at these couple passages in James that we're talking about today, and I'm like, man, have these ever like carried more weight than they do right now? Like James is obsessed with some disproportion in how our lives are affected by something really small. And in James chapter 3, we see it. It picks up in verse 3. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants them to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course. Listen, it sets the whole course of one's life. What you say and how you say it. And is itself, this is written to Christian people, the book of James. This is not written to your heathen friends down the street. This is written to people like you trying to follow Jesus, just like you're trying to follow it. Listen to this. It says, it sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. By hell itself. You have this picture, this paradox, this laying out of small things in repetition. James is building his point and trying to drive it home to his audience. Tiny things have big control. Tiny things have big consequences. This little rudder, though the storms push it in the wrong direction, though the winds come and try to steer it elsewhere, this tiny rudder, this pilot turns, decides the entire direction of the ship. It just takes a spark to start the fire that will burn your world down. Words, they matter. They're not just communication. What you say is never just neutral. But we dish them out with such arrogance, with such lack of self-reflection. We just spit stuff at people around us, some of those people we care deeply about, without ever like thinking about how it's heard or received. We live with such arrogance that we think our opinion on every news story, on every current event, on everything that happened at church, on everything the preacher said, on everything the boss said, on everything that happened at Thanksgiving deserves to be heard by, should be heard by everybody else. There's this passage in Proverbs that has been messing with me all week. And the first time I read it fast. And I was like, oh, it's interesting. Good point. Let's throw that one in the sermon. I know where it could fit. And then I kept coming back to it as I built the message out for today. And I kept trying to like remember how this was going to go and studying the passages that we were talking about. And it messed with me a whole lot. It says this in Proverbs 18 at verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. If it has the power of life and death, it has the power of everything in between life and death. What this Proverbs starts off with saying, and oh, we're not even done with this one verse yet. What it starts off with saying is like, your words create. They don't just communicate. What you speak has the ability to create trust or destroy it. What you say has the ability to build people up or tear them down. What you say can put in somebody confidence or insecurity. You can create peace or anxiety with what you say. It's not just communication. It's not just words. You were created in the image. And I think back to how the world began. It says, God spoke. And somehow in his mystery, though you are not God and you will not be able to go outside of here and say, stop raining and it'll stop raining and the sun will pop out and be 94 degrees. You ain't that. But like, in some way you have ability to create with what you say. What world are you creating for your kids? What are you speaking into their life? What world are you creating for your spouse? Sometimes this happens intentionally. And I just need to pause. I have to say this. I don't want to say this. You might not come to church next week because I say this. But I can't not say it. I said it in the first service and I said, God, I'm not saying that in the second service. And here I am saying it in the second service. If you are intentionally speaking destruction into people's lives, if you are intentionally speaking fear into people's lives so you can control the relationships and feel better about yourself at home because you're a big man. If you are intentionally manipulating him to get your way and to twist it around so that somehow you feel justified in whatever thing you're doing. If you are intentionally hurting people with your words, stop it. You're a joke. What your words create, and you are creating garbage. Maybe I need a nap. I am so tired of how cavalier people who say they're Christians treat their words. And a lot of you sit here and have been hurt deeply by words people have said to you. And some of them have said it intentionally because they didn't want you to get bigger, because they didn't want to see you be better than them. because they didn't want to watch you grow, because they wanted you to be controlled, and they wanted you to stay in your place, and they wanted to feel something that was missing from their life. And somehow in this twisted way, they feel like cutting you and putting you down and creating an atmosphere where you do not have the good stuff, the peace that God wants you to have to grow. And somehow in their twisted way, they felt like that was okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay. Some of you, what you say to your spouse is not okay. What you say to your kids, you're supposed to speak to them with gentleness, not provoking them to anger. And some of you, what you say to your kids is not okay. And God forgive me, because I am not a perfect dad. And I have said things I have had to beg his forgiveness for and beg my children's forgiveness for. And I'm not a perfect husband. And there have been times where I've said things that I have wished I could take back. But here's the thing, you can't take it back. Words are not just communicating. You have the ability to create and destroy. And some of you are unintentionally. And if you have been unintentional, you were raised this way. It's what you grew up with. It's how people talk. They still loved you, but they talked harshly. And yet hurt, but you got used to it. And some of you have like been grown up in these systems where we didn't talk about this stuff in church, and everybody just pretended like everything was perfect at home. And so you grew up in places where this stuff wasn't talked about, and you just are perpetuating a system of communication with the people you love most. You say you would die for them, but you won't change how you talk. And if you are unintentionally sowing chaos into your family's life, unintentionally stealing peace from them, unintentionally creating anxiety at home, unintentionally not building them up in confidence, but sowing seeds of insecurity in them, I want you to know that God's grace is new every day. His mercies are new every morning. And he wants to empower you to stop the cycle. And you just got to stop. Let it end with you. For your kids' sake, for their kids' sake. No matter how much you've screwed it up before, you can start fresh, and God's grace is new, and he pours his love out to you, and he died for that. And you can start new today. And start with what you say. I might need an aspirin. Somebody take my pulse. Is there blood pressure? I love you. I love you, and I don't always get the grace and truth thing and right. And I apologize if I'm not carrying the balance of grace and truth and love and truth well in these last couple moments. We got to be more like Jesus. Dads, we got to be more like Jesus. Husbands, we got to be more like Jesus. Mothers and wives, this isn't just a dude thing. We got to be more like Jesus. Bosses, we got to be more like Jesus. James gives us a better rhythm for how we communicate just a couple of pages earlier. I don't even know if I covered everything I wanted to cover there, but we got to keep this train moving. Here's a better rhythm in James for all of this in our relationships. Please don't like turn this off because you're mad at me. Please just listen to this new rhythm, because even if you're mad at me, this new rhythm will help you. This will help you in every relationship you have. If you have a relationship that means something to you, this rhythm that we get in James 1, it's one I'm aspiring to. I'm not always there. If you know me well enough, you know I am not always there. This is the new rhythm I am aspiring to. It's this. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick
That word quick there, it means eager. It means like, it captures this idea of like leaning into with an eagerness. It's like, I want this. I want to hear this. I'm not just hearing, I'm actively listening. I'm leaning in with an anticipation that something that I need to hear is being said. That's this idea in quick. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Quick, slow, slow. In that order, listen, speak, angry. We get it backwards. We go quick, quick, slow. And we do it in reverse order. We're quick to be angry about something, and then when I'm angry about something, ooh, I'm going to be quick to tell you about it. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell your mom about it. I'll tell your grandbaby about it. I'll tell your neighbor about it. I won't tell your boss about it. I'll tell everybody I know about it. We're quick to be angry, then we're quick to speak, and then we are slow to listen. That part takes a minute. It's complete backwards of the rhythm that James gives us in the beginning of this passage. He says, be quick to listen. And you know what's incredible about this new rhythm? You don't got to try that hard. Because if you are quick to listen first, you will automatically be slower to speak. And if you are slower to speak, you will automatically, that word slow means restrained. It's like a wisdom word. It's not just a pace word. It's not just how some of you get ready to get here on time for the 10:30 service. It's not that kind of slow. It's a restrained. You're quick to listen. You are eager to listen to the people around you, even if you disagree with what they're saying. When you are quick to listen to the people around you, even if you got a completely different take on the whole situation, guess what will also happen if you're quick to listen? If you're quick to listen, they're going to be more quick to listen too. But when you are quick to listen, then all of a sudden, you will be slower to speak because you see them. You understand a little bit more. You got a bigger picture for what's going on. And if you are slower to speak, then you're going to be slower to get angry. It's a new rhythm that we need in our lives, a practical shift in how we communicate with everybody. Don't send that text. Don't shoot off that email. Sleep on it. Don't just react in the moment because you feel angry or betrayed or because somebody, you feel like somehow they didn't live up to their end. What if you just listen for a second? What do you lose by listening for a second? You create the space to listen, and then all of a sudden, like some really practical questions, there's room for them in your head and your heart, and you can take that little pause and go, what outcome am I trying for here? Because if this is a conversation I'm having with the people I love most and I live with, the outcome I'm trying to accomplish is that both of us move to a better place together. We find deeper intimacy together. We have a healthier relationship together. Like that's what I'm reaching for. That's what we're working towards. And when you give yourself the pause to listen, you create the opportunity to go say, what outcome do I want? Another good question. Am I helping or hurting? Will this maybe be uncomfortable, but speak life? Or am I speaking destruction? My favorite one, if you're starting to text, like, would I say this to their face? Would I say it this way? Have I slowed down enough to consider everything? To consider my words? Does this need a convo instead of a text? When you are quick to listen and you slow down and hit pause a little bit, you invite wisdom. And wisdom is strength. Not every thought should be said or sent.
the worship team's going to come out, and everybody said, amen. Let's get this guy off the stage today. And I want to end with the example of this. Like, you're not here trying to be like me. Please, heaven help us if that's the case. We're not here just to play church. We're not here for some self-help. We're not here because we just want like some quick hacks to our relationships. If you are, you haven't been to the whole first part of the series. This has been way rougher than I thought. When we were planning this one out, we're like, yeah, this one will be lighter. That sounds good for after Easter. We're trying to be like Jesus. That's who we're trying to be like. And I'm not good at it all the time. And you're not, probably not good at it all the time. You're probably better than me, but maybe my guess is that none of us are going to be real good at it till we get to heaven and God's work in us is complete. But in the meantime, while we wait, we're trying to be like Jesus. He's the one. He's where we need to land. And it describes Jesus like this in John chapter 1. The Word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father. Check this out. Full of grace and truth. Some of you got the grace thing, but not the truth thing. Some of you got the truth thing, but not the grace thing. And just so that we would never think that this is one of the attributes of God that we are told to worship him for, but not imitate, it says this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 or 15. I can't see my own writing. It says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect. Listen, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. When we speak truth in love, we are becoming more like Christ. It takes both of them. You can't separate one of them. Some of you think you're champions of truth, and you share your truth, what you think is truth, with everybody who would listen. You post it nonstop, incessantly online, on Facebook, on Instagram. You share it with everybody you bump into at the gas station. You're quick to spout it off to the people you live with. All you do is share truth because you feel like you're a champion of the truth. But if you don't have love, you're just a jerk. And some of us, we have love. We're so afraid to ever speak the truth that we need to speak into the people we care about's lives that we just keep avoiding the hard conversations. We just aren't good with being uncomfortable and sitting in that tension and sharing with somebody maybe a hard thing, but also sharing with them that we love them. We're afraid of like sitting down and crying with somebody as we share what we've been struggling with, how we can move to a new place together. We're full of grace, but we miss the truth piece, and it's just weak. It's just weak. The place to be. The place to be is like Jesus, a speaking truth in a loving way, caring about how it is heard and received, being gentle in our approach with the people that God has entrusted to us, helping carry the burden with them as we move forward together. I don't know what you need today. Maybe you just need to stop. or maybe you need a little bit of pause. It's time to just slow down a little bit and start listening a little bit more, maybe a lot more, to the people around you before you say what you want to say or send what you want to send. Maybe it's time to just like slow down and put pause in there and let God, ask God to forgive you of some stuff. Maybe some of you need to start creating healing instead of destruction by having the first words that come out of your mouth after you leave here is, "I'm so sorry." Like, I don't know where you are, what God is, but please, church, would we see together that our words aren't just words? They are power of life and death. May we handle them the way Christ wants us to handle them, because if we do, you will see new life. That Proverbs verse, it says at the end of it, it says this, it says, "And those who love it will eat its fruit." It messed with me for a long time. I didn't see what fruit had to do with it. But as I wrestled with this verse, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The definition, it was just so like clear. You will live in the world that your words create. If you speak fire, you're going to live in smoke. If you speak anxiety, you're going to live in anxiety. If you speak insecurity, you're going to be living in insecurity. But if you speak peace, you will be living in peace. And if you speak joy, you will be living in joy. And if you speak hope, you will be living in hope. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. And God, would you help us together be people who speak what you want us to speak into the world around us. God, we are so thankful for your grace and hope. We all need it when it comes to this, because we've all blown it in one way or another. I pray that you would help us to set some of us a drastically new course, that you'd help some of us to have the courage to say we're sorry, that you would help some of us to start speaking truth and speaking grace and speaking love and speaking joy, and that we would see the promise of that verse in Proverbs lived out in front of us in our days, that we would be living in the fruit of the world we create with how we speak. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.